Senator, from the minority stance, how would you recommend that the Republicans go about their process of altering the Affordable Care Act?
Well, first, do no harm. That's the Hippocratic Oath, and it applies to this specifically, because what we've learned is simple repeal of the Affordable Care Act would be devastating to downstate Illinois. The largest casualty, of course, would be downstate hospitals. I've written with Tammy Duckworth that 200 separate hospitals, about 30 have already replied, and the downstate hospitals will be the first casualties of the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. It stands to reason. Many of them are, you know, hanging on. They're not large hospitals. And if they lose Medicaid reimbursement, it means more charity cases and less opportunity for them to serve. So I hope that the Republicans, before they repeal, will have something better to replace it with.
What happens to the stability of the insurance market?
Well, that's another thing. To suggest that we can somehow repeal it and we'll get around to replacing it, what the insurance companies tell me is we're not going to write policies if we don't know what the rules are. We have to know what the rules are for the policies and what the likelihood is beyond 1 year that we'll be able to stay in business. So they haven't thought this through. It's interesting that the rhetoric on the Affordable Care Act from the Republicans has changed over the last several weeks. It went from repeal to repeal and replace, and now it's repair. If they take repeal off the table, I'm going to pull up a chair. I'm glad to work with them and make it a better system and a better law.
How much input can the minority party really have?
Well, they need 60 votes to do anything substantial, and they have 52. So it has to be a bipartisan effort.
What is your top list of priorities for inclusion in any finessing of that law?
Three things. First, we've got to expand the insurance pool. Insurance doesn't work unless healthy people buy it. Now we have more and more insurance being sold only to sick people, and it's extremely expensive. That's where the premiums are going up. So we need to expand those who are in the pool and covered by insurance. Second, we need to do something about prescription drugs. The Affordable Care Act does not address the cost of prescription drugs. Blue Cross Blue Shield in Illinois is now paying more for prescription drugs than they are for inpatient hospital care. It's out of control. And the third thing is we ought to offer Medicare as an option so that wherever you live, you could sign up for a program that looks like Medicare, treats people like Medicare, reimburses like Medicare. It's good enough for 50 or 60 million Americans, and I think it would be a good policy to expand.
One of the knocks on the Affordable Care Act is that we don't actually know how much taxpayers are paying for it through the rebates and the incentives. How much do we need to know before we can meaningfully tweak it?
I can tell you that if people go in saying we're going to abolish all the taxes that are collected to support the Affordable Care Act, it will just dry up overnight. Those taxes that are collected expand the reach of Medicaid to states so that we now have 1.2 million people insured under the Affordable Care Act. Half of them because of expanded Medicaid in Illinois. And secondly, those who are buying insurance through exchanges are receiving substantial subsidies if they're low income. Those would disappear as well if we eliminated the taxes collected to support the Affordable Care Act.
But we don't know how much those subsidies are costing the nation, right?
Well, we do know the overall cost of them, but you know, you have to look at the alternative. People get sick whether they have insurance or not. They show up at the hospital and they're treated whether they have insurance or not. The hospital has to figure out how to take care of uncompensated care, passing the bills along to other people or absorbing it within the institution. And what I'm saying is the Illinois Hospital Association tells us downstate hospitals will be the first casualties for the repeal of the Affordable Care Act.
The exchanges were already getting out of the business because things were a little too uncertain, their costs were a little too high for them to be comfortable. How should that problem be addressed?
Massachusetts figured it out, and that was with Governor Romney. They basically had a penalty, and at the end of it, more than 95% of the people in Massachusetts signed up for insurance. They'd rather have insurance than pay the penalty. We don't have a good system at the federal level. And so the insurance pools were, unfortunately, didn't include enough young people and enough healthy people. That's the way insurance works. And so we need to find a way in changing the Affordable Care Act to expand that pool of covered people so that the insurance premiums are reasonable.
New administrations always have rocky moments. How should the White House work its process to become a little more predictable, a little more orderly about getting their agenda to the public?
This Sunday is day 24 of the Trump presidency. He is the first president in history to dismiss an attorney general in the first 3 weeks. and to have federal courts stop his executive orders, not once but twice. I think had he planned this more carefully and thought it through, there might have been ways to deal with some of these issues in a more thoughtful and constitutional way. But they moved extremely quickly, and they weren't prepared for the results.
One of the great hopes for bipartisanship in this new administration is an infrastructure bill. Can you support an infrastructure bill if there are also tax cuts or if there is no dedicated revenue for that infrastructure?
It's hard to have a substantial bill without more revenue coming in. The reason is we tax at the federal level by the gallon, and as we drive more fuel-efficient cars and trucks, we burn fewer gallons of gas. The roads still need to be repaired. So we've got to find another source, reasonable source, dedicated source, from the motorist and from the users of mass transit, for example, to go back into the actual construction. I'm open to suggestions. If the Trump administration has an approach to this, I'd like to hear it. I think infrastructure is something we ought to agree on.
There's been a noted lack of consensus on a bundle of revenue sources over the last 6-8 years. What do you think will become achievable under a unified Republican government?
I don't know the answer. We're waiting for President Trump's proposal. Some people have said public-private partnerships. Those will take you, to some extent, tollways and things like that, but other things, bridge repair, mass transit, and others, not likely to be done on a public-private basis.
This post-election period has seen a tremendous outpouring of citizen interest in what's going on, a lot of protests, and yet a lot of the progressives who are protesting have a long 2 or 4 years to look forward to. How would you urge them to conserve energy or to keep their engagement?
There's a lot of emotion, a lot of energy, and what I've said to them is what we face is a marathon, not a sprint. Be prepared. Do your homework. Get involved locally. There are plenty of races, city races and others that you can get involved in to test your skills and to get to know your neighbors a little better. But this is going to be a long-term undertaking. It's a real test in our political process.
House Republicans are urging their caucus to engage with voters, engage with the progressives, do the town hall meetings, as painful as it might be. Some are saying yes to that, some are saying no. Locally, we're seeing Congressman Rodney Davis sort of avoid, and we're seeing Congressman Darren Hood do more of that with staff meeting of constituents on the left. How can that discourse be kept civil, and how should the Republicans tackle dissent in their districts?
It's a good question, and having served in the House and then in the Senate, a politician can run, but you can't hide. Ultimately, the voters are going to have the last word about your service, and I think it's important that you meet even with those who are on the opposite side. I came as an unexpected visitor to a Tea Party rally in front of my office a few years ago when we were doing the Affordable Care Act. And Durbin won't come out of his office. He's hiding in there. And I came out and had a curbside town meeting. And I think that's the best way to deal with it. As long as people are civil and aren't throwing bricks, I mean, let's have this conversation. We may not agree, but let's be respectful, exchange our point of view.
How do you set that tone in your own office?
Well, we try to be respectful to everyone contacting us. But in this case, I asked those in the Tea Party, you pick your person, the moderator, who will respect your right to ask a question, my right to answer it. And then we'll have these exchanges back and forth. And it went on for about an hour until they all just kind of drifted away. It kind of lost the excitement when I showed up.